Good morning from Word of Deliverance Church in beautiful downtown Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. This morning we have Lisa Unger as our special guest. Thank you.
Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never and never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
I shared something on Facebook the other day about Peter waking up on Saturday morning and how he must have felt thinking every morning that he was going to have to wake up with that guilt and that shame of denying Christ. And sometimes I think we make those decisions and those choices that sometimes we know it's not going to be best for us, and we do it anyway. And then we wake up the next morning and think, gosh, I really blew it. But the great thing is that when Jesus was resurrected, he said, go find Peter.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, you know, that reckless love that he's going to find the one that's missing or that's scared or that's lost. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to know that you can wake up with a new insight to the day, and know that he's gonna meet you where you are. And so if you're struggling today, we're gonna sing this chorus one more time, and I really want you to take that to heart, that you can, his mercy never ceases. It's every morning. It's new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God.
Yes.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy.
New every morning. great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. The beauty of that is he is faithful to every generation. Great is thy faithfulness. One of the greatest characters of the Bible that I love to just read the stories and to talk about is the character of Peter. Because quite frankly, he was a character. But I love that we look at Peter, we see his flaws, we see his strengths. I mean, man, one moment, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Probably a lot of people asking that question right now. Who are men saying that Jesus is right now? And the disciples said, well, Lord, they're saying a whole lot of things about you. You know, they had called him a false prophet. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a whole lot of things. And he said, some call you Elijah, some call you a prophet. And Jesus simply looked at them and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter just said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And listen to this, the gates of hell shall not, somebody say shall not today, prevail against it. Peter's name means rock. Peter's name means a stone. But I don't think necessarily Jesus is talking about building the gates of hell or the kingdom on the name Peter or even Peter's a ministry. But what he's saying, the revelation that you've got, Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon that rock, that foundational rock of understanding and revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey guys, those words are in red letter. And when the man is talking, when Jesus is talking in red letter, we need to listen. So I declare that to you today. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. It's so great to be with you again today. It's so great to be in your living rooms, in your homes, in your cars, wherever you might be listening to this. We love you. We are honored that you chose to tune in with us and to listen to us today. I know there's so many places you can go to hear the gospel. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing that across our nation right now in a wave? You know, I was thinking about it the other day, we may consider moving our time to broadcast up by a half an hour or so, just because there are so many people on the East Coast that are all broadcasting at the same time, that 10:30 slot, and that would give us more opportunity to see more services. But when you think about it, by the time it's 10 o'clock here and then we go to the next time zone, it's 10 o'clock there, it's not next time zone, and the gospel is being preached like a wave over our nation today. That starting at probably 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe some folks are starting to broadcast their first service. And like a wave, the gospel is being preached across our nation and across our world. And so we're excited about that. We're excited for those of you who are tuning in outside of the United States and are watching the preaching. And we're listening to you too as well. I've seen many people that we're connected to in Nigeria and some things like that and what they're preaching in the nations that they're in. God is on the move and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love it. Thank you, Beth, for your worship and thank you for sharing this morning. And so she'll get me stirred up and I'll need to go a whole different direction. But I'm going to try to stay on track here today. And you know how much I love to preach that, but I also want to just take a moment and to thank all of those who helped yesterday with our food bank and giving out of food and the yogurt. We were able to get a large shipment of yogurt that our community received the other day, and so we were able to give a lot of that out and to folks that are in need. And so I appreciate all of those who had a hand in that and to help do that. And to our community people who organized that, to Starting Points and backpack programs, and all of you that are feeding our community as well. We love you and we honor you today. You're important to us. And I'm so thankful that that the church is in action. Our community is in action. You know, I shared last Sunday in my sermon, when Mary came to the tomb, she went back to the disciples and she said, "He's alive because I've seen him." And you know, when somebody has seen Jesus, you can't, there's some things you just can't unsee, right? And I love that. And I shared last Sunday that I know he's alive. I know Jesus is alive. I see him in our ICU units. I see him in our nursing homes. I see him in our first responders. I see him and I see his hands extended. I see him at work. Hallelujah. This is not the end. This is just the beginning of what God is getting ready to do in our nation. And I shared some other things this week on just, you know, some of my ramblings on my devotions that I've posted online. But one of the things that I believe Jesus shared with me Sunday after I got home from service even is I thought about the scripture that when Jesus said to his disciples, "Come ye apart and rest a while." And we've been in a season where we have had to come apart. We have had to have some downtime. We have had to separate ourselves. We've had to quarantine. And we've had to meet with a small group of people. And Jesus said that to his disciples. And so we see that scripturally, that Jesus himself withdrew a little bit from the demand of everyday living, the demand of the crowd. But he really makes that statement in connection with the beheading of John the Baptist. And Jesus had just got word that John the Baptist was beheaded, and he was dealing with resistance from the religious crowd and even in his ministry and things. And I'm sure Jesus was moved by the beheading of John the Baptist. It was his cousin. There was a connection. We know the connection that happened with them in the womb. When Mary and Elizabeth came together, there was a connection with John and Jesus. There was a connection on the shore of Jordan that day when John and Jesus came together and the heavens were open. There was a connection. And so we know that John and Jesus had a connection, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. But John made a statement and he said, "I must decrease and he must increase." And we always quote that all the time. You know, I heard that growing up, that I got to decrease so that Jesus can increase. Or, you know, what we understand is that John was saying, my ministry is coming to a completion, but his is about to begin. And I think that Jesus realizes at the beheading of John the Baptist that John has decreased, and the increase of this government is about to take place. And of that increase and of that government, there shall be no end. And in preparation for that season in God's life, he says to his disciples, in Jesus' life, he says to his disciples, "Come ye apart and rest a while." And I believe there are moments in our life like this, and that if we will value the time that we have, if we quit fighting, staying at home, and start embracing what God wants to do in this season. And he drew the disciples apart. They rested for just a while. But outside of that rest, when they came out of that season, what I want you to know is there were 5,000 hungry people waiting on them. And Jesus does the multitude of breaking the bread and the fish. And he feeds the 5,000 right outside of that season of quiet and rest. I want you to know when we come out of this season, and I really felt like the Lord prophetically spoke to me last week and said, outside of this season, you are going to see the multitude of hungry people gather. And I don't know what that looks like, but I know that Jesus is about to disperse the kingdom. He's about to disperse his disciples. And what he said to them, they said, "We don't know what to do here." And he said, "You got the goods. You need to feed them." And he didn't feed the multitude. He gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude, and they all did eat and were filled. And I want you to know God is about to activate the church, not just the pastors, not just leadership, but he is activating the church to feed the multitude. We're feeding some in the natural. We're feeding some in the spirit, but I pray increase over that. And I pray that God is about to activate us in our communities and to hungry people all over this world, that the kingdom of heaven shall prevail. And of the increase of that government, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. keep focused, because God is doing something in the midst of this. There is a shifting taking place, a shifting how we've done a lot of things, and it has challenged some of us to step outside of the box. It's challenged some of us to go before cameras. It's challenged us to figure out some new ways to do things. And necessity is the mother of invention, and I believe great things come out of crisis. I don't believe God has to bring a crisis on us to make his will happen, but I believe when crisis comes, he doesn't waste it, and he will activate and create and cause new things to come about. So I'm excited about that. I just want to share you a little bit today. Another one of my favorite stories, probably as part of the Easter story, but it's the walk to Emmaus. And I want to talk about Jesus being revealed in the journey. I was thinking as we were singing and as I was worshiping this morning, when I was a little girl growing up in church, we used to sing the song all the time. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get so happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. And you know, life is a journey. There's a lot of things that we walk through. And the sweetness of the Lord in the midst of our journey is what makes our journey so sweet. We walk through some things. We walk through some hard places. We walk through some valleys. We walk through some hills. And it's all part of life in general. But thank God we don't have to walk it alone. I'm so thankful today. The song says, "You'll never walk alone." What a truth and what a value that is in that. Jesus promised, the word promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Not even in your biggest mess up, not even in your biggest failure, have you ever had to do it alone. Now, we may not reach out and respond to Jesus. We might not recognize him in the middle of our crisis, or recognize him in the middle of our chaos, or we may not see him at work in it. But how many times have we looked back and said, "Oh, okay, I see what you're doing in that." Some of the hardest places in my life, and some of the times when I've had to look at God and say, "Really? Why? What? What is going on?" And in those times, if I stay focused, God will reveal himself, and I see the beauty of what he's doing. But in Luke chapter 24, and I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible this morning, and starting at verse 13, so if you have your Bible or your device, or if you want to read this along with me, I encourage you to read along with me. Don't just listen to what I say, my ramblings. Check it out in the Word. God will reveal himself to you in the Word if you'll just give him opportunity. But it says, "And then that very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing it, Jesus himself came up and began walking with them. But their eyes were miraculously prevented," or another translation says, "withholden from seeing him or recognizing him. And they stood still, looking brokenhearted. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger visiting Jerusalem who is unaware of the things which have happened here in these recent days?'" I want to stop for just a moment there, and then I'm going to go on, and then we'll preach a little bit, and then we'll get some lunch. But one of the things that to me is so funny about this scripture, and I literally see Jesus grinning when he makes this statement or when he says this. The disciples are walking, and it's Cleopas and another disciple. We don't even know who it is. And maybe sometimes it's good when our unbelief and our doubt is not broadcast and people don't know it's us, right? And so he's walking in the way, and the disciples are brokenhearted. And Cleopas, the wife of Cleopas, was at the tomb. She was at the cross. But Cleopas is walking to Emmaus, and the other disciple, and Jesus comes up beside them, and the scripture says, but their eyes are withholden because they can't see him. Have you ever been so wrapped up in your own life and your own cocoon and your own shell or your own crisis that you couldn't see Jesus for looking at him? And he comes up beside them, and he said, they don't recognize Jesus in this. I don't recognize Jesus. And there's a whole lot of people out there right now saying, I don't recognize Jesus in this mess. If you look, you'll see him because he's there. And so he says, he walks up to them, and they said, so, hey, guys, why are you so brokenhearted? Why you got such a gloom and doom look? My mom would say, you look like you've been eating dill pickles or death sucking on a lifesaver or something like that. And he says to him, why are you so brokenhearted? And they say to him, are you a stranger? Really? Do you have no idea what we've just been through? Don't you know what has happened in Jerusalem in the last 3 days? Don't you know what's happened in our community, in our nation, in our world right now? Like, are you a stranger to this chaos? And Jesus looks at them and smiles. He has to smile when he says this and says, really? What things? He says to Jesus, who just went through one of the most gruesome judgment calls, he's put on trial. He's accused of everything that he could be accused of. He's been beaten. He's been flogged. He's been forced to carry his cross. He's been nailed to a tree. He has died a cruel death. He has been buried in a borrowed tomb. And all of watched his mother sorrow and mourn over people who had died, watching him die and watching the loss of a loved one. He had been through all of that. And they look at Jesus and say, are you a stranger to what's been going on in Jerusalem? Don't you know what things? And Jesus said, no, what things? And so I think that when I think about that scripture, I think about when Jesus said to them, what things really happened in Jerusalem? Because I got to tell you, I have been, you know, serving the Lord most of my life. I grew up in church. I'm honored and privileged to have been raised in a Christian home and to know the value of the church and God always being present in my life. I can tell you stories of encounters, even as a little girl, of encounters that I knew that God had stepped into my life and had intervened and God was speaking to me. But I am still, even at my age right now, still trying to figure and wrap my head around what things happened in Jerusalem in 3 days and three nights. The power of the cross and what it accomplished, the fulfillment of an old covenant, the introduction of a new covenant, the power of the risen Savior, those things that happened in 3 days and three nights in Golgotha on Calvary's Hill. When he says to them what things happened, I think he's saying to us today, do you understand what happened in Jerusalem? He wasn't a stranger to it. He was there. Are you unaware of those things that happened in recent days? He asked, what things? And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel and set our nation free. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. And also some of the women among us shocked us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. Then they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to trust and believe in everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and only then to enter his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and throughout all the writings of the prophets, he explained and interpreted for them the things referring to himself found in the scriptures. Then they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him not to go on, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day has just about ended. So he went inside to stay with them, and happened as he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he began giving it to them, and their eyes were suddenly opened by God, and they clearly recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scriptures to us? They got up that very hour, went back to Jerusalem, found the 11 apostles gathered together, and those who were with him, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon Peter, they began describing in detail what had happened on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Powerful, powerful piece of scripture. It's one of my favorite stories. But I just want to hit some highlights here, some bullets, and just share some things out of my heart. And the first thing we talked about, that they did not recognize Jesus in the midst of their disappointment, their sorrow, and even their fear. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. The overwhelming things of life sometimes wash over us in a wave, and we don't see Jesus in the midst of that. But I love the overwhelming power of the presence of the Holy Spirit that's even greater than anything that I walk through, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that can give you peace in the midst of that. And sometimes we fail to activate the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. We're waiting for an outside force to come down over us, but I'm telling you, and it's an inside well. It's a fountain of life that can spring up out of your bellies. It's that life-giving force of Jesus. But he said to him, "Are you a stranger?" And I dare say today there's a whole lot of people that Jesus is a stranger to, that they don't see him. They don't know him. They haven't experienced him. But Jesus made himself real to those disciples in the midst of that journey. One, the scripture says it's about a 7-mile journey. I think somebody else said it might even been longer than that. But for the sake of what the scripture says today, we're going to call it the 7-mile journey, 7.5-mile journey. And one of the things that Jesus begins to preach to them in that 7.5-mile journey, and I said this on a devotional, if ever, ever, ever there is a sermon in the Bible that I want to preach. You know, Joshua stood up. He said some powerful things. Moses said some powerful things. Isaiah preached some powerful things. Jeremiah, the prophets, all of those. Sermon on the Mount, powerful. All of those sermons. Peter preaches, you know, and the shadow falls and people were healed. And the day of Pentecost, all of those beautiful, wonderful encounters. But ever, if ever there was a sermon that I would have liked heard preached out of the Bible, it's the 7-mile sermon that Jesus preaches to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Because the scripture tells us that he reveals to them all things concerning himself. I want to know when Jesus begins to speak of himself, I want to know what those things are. And so he says to them, first of all, he says, what things happen in Jerusalem? Well, we talked about those already. How many know Jesus stands on the giant's head when he hangs on Golgotha's hill? It was called the place of the skull. And one of the reasons why they think it's called the place of the skull was because they think that King David buried the head of Goliath in that hill. That when Jesus literally stands on the cross where his feet are planted, he stands on the head of our giant that our King David precedented with him and slew the giants in his life. How many know Jesus was slaying some giants when he hung on that cross? The veil was torn, providing access, the presence of the most holy place, the presence of God that we could experience in a personal basis. The earth was shaken. The lamb was sacrificed. Death did not have the final say. He was wounded, bruised by his stripes. We were healed. Those were the sermons that the prophets preached. Those were the things that were declared. But Jesus himself preached a sermon of all things concerning himself. And here's what I really think happened. He probably preached the whole book of Hebrews before the book of Hebrews was ever written. Because he starts at Moses and the prophets, and he begins to preach those things concerning himself. In Hebrews 1, he said that he was better than angels. How many know that Jesus is better, better, better? How many know the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, and it's all about better things? The things that were to come, the things that Jesus accomplished, the things that he set out for us. And in the chapter 1, it says that he's better than angels. Hebrews 2, a better sacrifice. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the perfect lamb of God, the spotless lamb. Hebrews 3, he's the better mediator. Where Moses was a mediator under the old covenant, he was afraid of God. I mean, no, Jesus is our new mediator, and he sits on the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. He's a better mediator. Hebrews 4, there's a better Sabbath. No longer do we make the Sabbath day such a, it's not that we honor the Sabbath day. He said, I didn't create the man for the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath for man. How many know Jesus became our Sabbath? He became our place of rest. He became our heavenly Canaan. He became our Sabbath day rest. Hebrews 5 through 8, he became a better priesthood. He is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's not a Levitical priest. He's a Melchizedek priest. There's a better priesthood. Hebrews 9 and 10, better covenant. He instituted for us a better covenant, not one that we have to bring in a lamb of sacrifice today and bring our woolly lamb for our sins, but Jesus became our sacrifice once and for all. He said, there's no more sacrifice for sin. That doesn't mean if you mess up that there's nothing available to you. It says, there will never be a sacrifice given that's more powerful than what Jesus already did. There's nothing that you've done in your own flesh that's more powerful than what the cross did. You are covered. There's a better covenant. Hebrews 11 says there's a better faith. That we have faith through the Father, Christ Jesus. He is the source of our faith. Hebrews 12 talks about being surrounded with such a great cloud of witness. We're in good company today. But also there's a better mountain. Hebrews 12 talks about a better mountain. We didn't come to Sinai. You did not come to the mountain of smoke and fire and rules and regulations and commands that the people were afraid to touch. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to a new mountain, a mountain of peace and a mountain of God. So I believe Jesus began to preach all things concerning himself. So many other things we could share today. He was the tabernacle. He was the mercy seat. He was the candlelight. He was the table of showbread. He was the manna from heaven. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. I am that bread that came down from heaven. All those things Jesus preached to those disciples concerning himself. Wow. What an incredible sermon that must have been to hear. And then they said to themselves, Jesus gets ready to pass on by at the end of that sermon. They said, don't pass us by. Come into our abode. Come in and sit with us. Come in and sup with us. And they brought Jesus into their house. Man, one of the most powerful things you can do. It's a picture again of the lamb being brought in the house and the exodus out of Jesus. One of those powerful things you can do is bring the lamb in the house. And Jesus sat down with them at the table. And the scripture says, and he takes the bread and he blesses the bread and he begins to break the bread and he begins to distribute it out. And the scripture said, and their eyes were opened and he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Wow. I just think somehow I would have had to sit at that table and weep when I actually look into the eyes of him, the revelation of who he is, and I see him take that bread. Like we had seen him many times, and he blessed that bread, and he began to give that bread to the multitude, and they're like, oh, I know who you are. I see you now. I see you. You have been revealed to me once again in the journey. I see you. My focus is on you. And as they begin to break the bread, hey guys, what I love the most about coming together in this church is that we have corporate worship and together we break bread. Rather, we have a communion table, which is a symbolism of that bread and that body and his blood. But when we come together and we share the word, and I see you guys post things on Facebook that God's speaking a scripture to you, or God gives you a revelation, or you're sharing something on there, or our Sunday school teachers are doing lessons, and you begin to share those things, we are breaking bread together. I am encouraged. I'm lifted up because we're sharing the meat and the bread of the word. Jesus said, I am that bread. And when we're sharing Jesus, we are feeding the multitude. You guys are feeding me. I've been feeding off of other places, live streams and pastors and ministers that I know and been connected with some great Zoom meetings and different connections where God is speaking to me and I am knowing him more, even greater in the breaking of the bread. I love that. And then when Jesus leaves that place or passes on by there, they look at each other and said, wow, didn't our hearts burn within us when he began to share all things concerning himself? Hey guys, here's what I want you to know. Jeremiah said, it is just like fire shut up in my bones. There is something about the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you that causes you to come alive. Didn't our hearts burn within us? My prayer for you today is that every one of you get a good case of heartburn. One that Tums can't fix. Zantac isn't going to take it away, because this is a heartburn that works. He said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't that word activate something inside of us? Didn't it stir something inside of us that just makes me feel the presence of the Holy Ghost? Guys, there is something about his word, his breaking bread together, the power and the revelation of Jesus, that causes a burning inside of me, a passion that I want to know more about him. I want to know him even in a greater capacity. I have all of that the Father and the Son have are within us. Now I just need to know how to release it and to activate it and to share it. Hey, I love you. I pray that the passion of the power of the Holy Spirit burns in you today, that we have a good case of heartburn. And hey, I hope that heartburn is catchy. I hope you can share it with someone around you. And I hope that you're doing well in all of this crisis, all of this situation. Hey, if you need to reach out to us, please do. If you're in need, please reach out to us. We want to help you in whatever way we can. We're trying to connect with people. And but hey, my phone is always open. If you want to call, if you have a need, you reach out to us. We want to help you. We want to thank our nurses and our doctors who are on the front lines. We want to thank you for what we're doing. We pray for you. We back you up. We love you. And we believe in you. You guys are the true heroes right now. Our prison guards, our people who are essential workers, our mail carriers, our frontline, our first responders, all of those in our community who are his hands extended. Yeah, Jesus is alive because I see him. I see him activating you guys to meet the need of creation that's crying out. Hey, we love you. We believe in you. We want to pray with you before we go today. But I also want to let you know, if you want to give, you can give online. Go to wodchurch.com. There's a donate button. You can give through PayPal. You can give through credit card. You can go through debit. You can give that way. If you want to send your tithes, your offerings in, you can mail them to 116 Harvest Drive, and we will get those. And we promise that we will do things with those things to reach our communities in this time. Hey, we love you for your giving. We believe in you. We know that God trusted you with that money, and we trust you with God's money. He's faithful to us. All right? So let's pray this morning. I pray if you're out there today, number one, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've not encountered him in your journey, wow, what an opportunity you have today. I just ask you to reach out to him. Say, Lord, I receive you. Reveal yourself to me in my journey, because I don't want to go any farther than this and not know you in the midst of it. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to experience Jesus. If you're sick and you have a need, we believe and declare that the gates of hell, that sin, sickness, poverty, and disease were dealt with at the cross, and we are believing that God is going to touch your body right now. And we want to hear your testimonies. We want to know what God is doing in your life, and we want to know your testimonies of what God is healing, what he is touching, and what he is doing in the midst of this. We love you and we believe in you. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I so thank you that all across our nation right now, Father, that you are on the move. Lord, that there's a platform of people that are being touched that have not been touched before, that the eyes of the world are on you today, God. All across our nation, the eyes of the world are watching live streams and preachers and devotions and gospels and Sunday school teachers, Lord, that are using our technology as an instrument to take the gospel to feed the multitude. Lord, we pray over it. We break it like bread today and we give it to the hungry. We know that you will multiply it. And in the multiplication of that, the scripture says that, you know, when the disciples took back up the bread, that there were 12 basketfuls left over. I am a true believer that if you give, if you distribute, if you pour out, that God, you will bring back an increase even to our own house, that there's a basket full left over to take back to our own dwelling and our own house. God, we honor you today in the midst of this. We love you. We thank you for your precious people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, guys. We love you, and we hope to see you soon.